All right, our scripture lesson tonight is in the book of Revelation, the third chapter. We want to bring a little thought, and we want to entitle the thought, Zealous Repenting is Required in This Hour. Zealous Repenting is Required in This Hour. Praise the Lord, and we want to draw our thoughts from a scripture here in the third chapter, and we want to center our thoughts tonight to begin with around verse 19 of this chapter. And then we want to apply this as the Holy Spirit would help us tonight to this age and so forth, and show you what the repenting is that God requires for the age that we're living in. Amen. And then distinct between just repenting and zealously repenting. Amen. The Word of God, the only place I understand by reading the Word of God that it speaks of zealously repenting is in verse 19 here. So we want to look at that tonight and see how the Holy Spirit will apply in the Word of God, believing that He will. So we're going to begin with verse 14, reading about the Laodicean church age and the time that we're living in, and see what God has promised for us, and see what God wants us to do in this time. Now, zealous repenting is required in this age. All right, verse 14 of this chapter, it reads like this, And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicean write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, we know who the earthly angel was that is spoken here in Revelation 3 and 14. The letter is addressed to the angel of the church of the Laodicean, but it applies to the entire age. Verse 15 says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Amen. He's not talking very good about the church age, especially in verse 14, 15, and 16. Amen. But verse 17 here, he begins to tell us more, and then he brings us some promises. Let us read further. Verse 17. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's the condition of the age. But verse 18 says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. Amen. That's a great promise here. Amen. To get out of the mess that the church age is in. And verse 19 says, As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Alright, I want you to notice this part especially. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Amen. Now I want to base my thoughts around this part. Zealous repenting is required in this age. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Amen. That is a message that God is saying to this age that we are living in now. Amen. This is the first and only place where God is talking about zealously repenting. Although we find all through the Word of God, it speak of repenting. Amen. But this age here, He is teaching us to be zealous in our repentance towards God. Amen. As God pulled back the veil and let us see the condition that we're in, it's required that we do some zealously, be zealous in our repentance. Amen. And we want to look in the Word of God and see what that means when we are zealous in our repenting. Now, we often hear the statement made that many people that said that your zeal has eat up your knowledge. You've got more zeal than you have knowledge. Amen. But here is one place the Word of God definitely speaks of zeal. Amen. And this zeal here is concerning your repentance. Now, what do the word zeal mean? Amen. It signifies an eagerness to do something. It signifies an eagerness putting forth an effort and reacting with energy towards something. Praise God. Now, when we begin to talk about repentance, Zacchaeus repenting, this repenting here is to be a repenting that can be seen by the people around. It is a Zacchaeus repenting to get you out of a condition that all of a sudden you wake up and find yourself in. Amen. And God, by the messenger to this age, had shown us what kind of condition we are in. Now we're going to tie this in a little while with Matthew 25. Amen. And show you a message came forth, and all of a sudden a group of people waked up and they saw the condition that they were in, and some of them rose up and did something about the condition that they were in, while others refused to do that. Praise God. So Zacchaeus repenting is required for this age. Praise God. Zacchaeus repenting is required for you. It's required for me. And not just repenting, Zacchaeus repenting. Amen. Making a move to get out of the condition that we're in. Because when God looks at this age, He sees it as naked, as wretched, as poor, as vile. And also He sees it as defiled and lukewarm. Amen. But He makes a promise to the age, if the age will be zealous in their repenting of their past errors, that God has a great promise for them. Amen. Now we want to look in the Word of God at some people that Paul wrote to and rebuked for their lukewarmness and for their sins, to get some idea of what repenting zealously is. Amen. And we find this in the Corinth church, where there was sin in the church, and the angel of the age wrote to them and told them about their sins and told them what to do about it. And we want to see what the people did about it. We want to see some zealous repenting. Amen. When we speak of zealous repenting, it's a repentance, amen, that brings sorrow for our wrongdoings. And it's repenting that will move the whole church in a position to of sorrow, amen, to receive God's forgiveness for our past errors. Amen. It's a common belief in the church world that there is a Trinity in the Godhead, that God is three persons. But when truth comes, it requires repentance, moving up, making a stand for the new truth that God revealed, which God is one. Now, we want to look in the Word of God, because I want to deal now in just a little bit with Matthew 25, but first, let us refer to Corinthians to show you what repentance is, and then see if we have truly repented zealously before God. Amen. That we may obtain the right to be in the bride of Christ for this hour. Because He is standing at the door knocking, saying, if anyone will open and let me in, I will come in. But the only way He'll come in is repent zealously of your past errors and look straight ahead at the promise of God. Hallelujah. Looking to the author and the finish of our faith. All right, would you please turn with us to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and we'll read there and find a condition in the church that they need to repent of. And then we'll show you how the people moved by the letter wrote by the apostle, repented of sins that were going on in church, gross sin, sexual sins, and sins that was a reproach to Christianity, reproach to the church, reproach to the name of Christ. When it was brought to their remembrance, they zealously repented. Now when you zealously repent, It means doing something. It means a motion. It means straightening up your past errors. It means straightening up your life. Amen. And unless you do that, you have not zealously repented. And that is the only kind of repentance that God will accept in this hour, is genuine, zealously repenting. Amen. And that is required. Genuine, zealous repenting. Doing something about any past errors that is revealed in the Word of God. Now let's read here in 1 Corinthians, Paul writing to the church, finding the church had fallen into sin. He writes to the church, and the church repents. Amen. In a way that is acceptable to God. Amen. And let me say this just before reading. Repentance is not necessarily, this type of repentance is speaking to the church. Paul, the angel was speaking to the church when he wrote the scripture that we read tonight. Amen. Paul's writing to the church here, and the church corrected the error of their ways. Amen. That signifies genuine repentance. Now let's read this because I'm hurrying to get to Matthew 25 to bring in some new thoughts on this tonight. So reading here in 1 Corinthians 5, 1 through 13, or the entire chapter. It reads like this. It is commonly reported that there is fornication among you, and such fornication is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up. Amen. I want you to notice that a church with sin in it, and they're puffed up. Amen. Now that is one thing Satan can slip over on you or on anyone and make them be puffed up when there is actually sin among the church. Paul said, if you think that you're something when you're nothing, you deceive yourself. Amen. It's required of the children of God to walk humbly before God and softly before God in true, genuine repentance and so forth. Amen. Paul saying, you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken from among you. Now notice here, Paul is getting down to something here where repentance means action on the part of the church. Not to continue in a way where there's sin among us and go ahead and just ride over it and live with it and so forth. But Paul is talking to this church, which were in the days when the church was still in a relatively pure state, but sin began to creep in. And Paul began to see the fellowship like this. He knew something had to be done, even to the extent of removing that person from among them that had done the sin. Alright, it says verse 3, for I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already as though I was present with you concerning him that hath done this deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you are gathered together and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Alright, here's what Paul said. To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now this signifies a church, as we don't even see a church like this in this hour. That was so much in one mind, one accord, and so forth, that the church had power when they came together and agreed on a certain thing to correct a certain condition in one mind, in one accord, in the Spirit of God. It was binding as the Spirit, as they did this in the Spirit of God. Alright, Paul says here, your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leavening the whole lump? Amen. Sin has got to be removed from the congregation. Amen. Now, God's way here for the aged is zealously repenting of it, or remove that person from the congregation that the fellowship might be pure. Alright, verse 7 says, purge out therefore the old leavening, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sanctified for us. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Amen. Notice the leavening that God will accept, and this is the only kind that He will accept, are the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Those are two things that we don't find in many of the assemblies today. Amen. We don't find truth. Amen. And many times we don't find sincerity. God does not accept any worship. God does not accept any repentance. Amen. Unless it's done in sincerity and in truth. Can you say amen? God requires this congregation, this age, this congregation, this church, every church, to zealously repent. And zealously repenting is doing something about a condition in sincerity and in truth. Amen. We're at the hour when God will recognize that and that alone. The hour of playing is long past. Amen. God's looking at a congregation and requiring something of a church, and the only way the church will be accepted in this hour is they just repent of their sin that they've committed in the past and the insincerity that's in the church today. Amen. How prophetic it is to be in a congregation and see even in time ministers stand before a congregation that does not have the sincerity, that does not have the truth that God requires for this time. Amen. The seriousness of the day need to be made so clear to us that it would make us repent with zealousness. Amen. That is crying out to God. I want to show you what zealous repenting is just a moment, but shall we continue with this? Amen. Lest we lose the aim of the thought here. It says here, I wrote unto you an epistle not to company with fornicators. Amen. God has ordained and purposed to do one thing, that is to have a clean, pure fellowship. And that's the kind of fellowship that God will come into. That's the kind of spirit in a church that God will honor. Amen. Not one where there's fornication and sin among the people. Verse 10 says, yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye need to go out of this world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man be called a brother, let me read this one over. Verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such a one not to eat. Amen. Now we want to look at this repentance. Zealously repenting. Amen. And when we look at this zealously repenting, it means a change of life. A change of attitude. It means a change of order of the worship service. It means a change of order in anything that is brought to our remembrance that is wrong, that we're doing. Zealously repenting. Alright, Paul wrote a letter and he shook this church up. He said, verse 12, For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Amen. This here is signifying a local congregation zealously repenting of past errors and begin to do something to correct the condition. Amen. Now God does not always correct the condition. Amen. We're living in an hour. As God gave in a parable where He delivered some talents and went into a far country. He delivered some one talent. He delivered others two. And another man He gave five. And He went into a far country while those that were delivered those talents invest them in the work of the Lord. Now God has delivered unto the ministry of this hour His talent, and He intends for us to use them. Amen. Now, God does not every time has to just be right by our side to talk to us in person as to what He wants the church to do in this hour. He has got men in this hour that's able to make a decision on what to do. Amen. Can you say amen? Many people today don't want to be forced to make a decision. Amen. They want someone else to make a decision or let it ride and let it ride and let it ride and say, well, maybe God will take note to the condition and do something about it Himself. But here Paul, he is saying, therefore put away from yourself that wicked person. You know that sin is among you. You are required by God to put that sin away from among you yourself. This is what Paul is instructing the church. Amen. And the sin will never be put away from the church until someone is zealously repented of their errors and willing to take a stand for God and for His Word. Amen. This is the hour that we're in now, where God wants ministers that He can trust while He's away in a far country. God has invested in certain men to be pastors. He has invested in certain men to be evangelists. He has invested in certain men to be teachers. And whatever the calling might be, He invested it in them and went into a far country. And then as He did this, He left it in the hand of the evangelist to do that He has called that evangelist to do. Amen. Without always coming back from the far country and personally telling them. Amen. God wants men that can shoulder responsibility in this hour. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now we see this condition in the church. You say that's a prophetic condition to be in the church. Yes, it is. But no, Paul said, no, keep company with a brother that is a fornicator. Or covenant. Now he mentioned fornicator, being a fornicator, which we immediately think of gross sin. And fornication is gross sin. But then he brings in being a covenant, being an extortioner. Amen. And we find so many today extortioners in what is so-called the bride of Christ. God is requiring now for a church to be absolutely clean. And the only way a church can be absolutely clean is for the ministry that God's ordained for the hour take the forefront in leadership in correcting any condition that exists that is not pleasing to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now Paul wrote to this church here and said, you know the condition, you know what's wrong, now correct it. Amen. Now it takes zealously repenting to rise up in correct condition, doesn't it? We know that. But that's what God said that Laodicean church had to do when the seventh messenger came. He caught them as a thief in the night. He caught them unprepared, didn't he? Their lamps had gone out. Sin has entered in. Amen. But God says, now, everyone that I love, I rebuke and chastise. Therefore, your part is to be zealous and repent. Zealously repenting is required for the move of God's Spirit to be in any congregation. Amen. Now we see the condition here as Paul writes about it, but notice Paul did not go over to the local church to correct condition. He told the ministry there to correct that condition. He told the church there to correct the condition, even to the extreme punishment of not even keeping company with anyone that would not line up with the Word. That is the hour God is pushing this church into tonight, to a condition where if a brother won't line up and clean up, amen, and live right, the church is going to zealously repent of the error and say, I'm not going to play anymore. I'm going to be serious with God. I'm going to be sincere with God. I'm going to repent, zealously repent, and do something about the condition. That was where the church was at, and the church stopped moving with God. Now we find in 2 Corinthians, let's turn to that in the 7th chapter, and find out when they repented, we'll see what they did in their repentance. Amen. We will read verse 1 of this chapter also. It is dealing with the very same problem that 1 Corinthians dealt with. Now, 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote the letter and he told them what was going on in the congregation and said to the ministry, said to the church, it's up to this local congregation to correct its own problems. Amen. Many times we want some Superman come along to tell us what we need to do and do it for us, doesn't he? But God didn't do it that way. He said, you do it. You do it. You do it. Amen. There is no local congregation that has any problem that the local congregation, if it is a church of the living God, that cannot correct its own problem. Amen. Praise God, we don't have to send somewhere off to another state to get someone. All we need is the Holy Ghost and the Bible. And anointed men of God that stand fearless for the Word of God. Amen. And requires a congregation to repent. Amen. Zealously repent. Come clean with God. Alright, the Word of God says here, and we'll look at this condition in its state as they repented of it. It says here, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh, and of the Spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. I speak not this to condemn you, for I said before that ye are our hearts, you are in our hearts to live and to die with you. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. Yet, of you, I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For when we came unto Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fighting, within were fears. Alright, now listen, as we begin to read from the 6th verse down, it says, nevertheless, God that commandeth those that are cast down, that comforteth. Let me read that again. Amen. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down, comfort us by the coming of Titus. This is dealing with a local condition. Amen. But it also has a far-reaching application also. It says, verse 7, and not only his coming, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning. Now I want you to watch this. Mourning, your mourning, or crying, or weeping. Amen. When he told us of your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoice. Alright, Paul began to refer back to the letter that he just wrote about a fornicator being among them. He said, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle has made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now this apostle of the Lord saw a condition in the church, and he wrote a letter to the church, and this church, when they read the letter, it made them sorrowful. Amen. Because they knew that there was a condition in the church that they had to do something about. Amen. When they read the letter, there's a fornicator among you, get rid of that person. Don't keep no one company with a fornicator or anything. The congregation got to be pure. The fellowship's got to be pure. Amen. Paul said to you, it made you sorrowful. Alright, verse 9 it says, now I rejoice, not that you were made sorrow, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. Now I'm talking about zealously repenting. Amen. This kind of repenting that will make the church so sorry for its sin that they'll begin to weep and be sorrowful until God comes on the scene and speaks. Amen. That is what the church has got to have today. Amen. With the spirit of Laodicea that we are compassed about today with, amen, and possessed with in many cases, it's hard to see any genuine repentance. Where it will cause a church to come together and to weep and to cry and to pray until God speaks and cleanses the fellowship. Amen. The church here, amen. You sorrowed to repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner. Amen. Now a godly, you were made sorrow after a godly manner. Now many people today, they don't understand the working and the moving of God. Amen. When something is preached and a condition is presented that it brings sorrow to the church and so forth, many times people, they're not willing to sorrow, they're not willing to zealously repent. Zealously repenting means doing whatever is required to get right with God. Amen. Even to weeping, even to praying, and the church coming together praying, even to the extent of breaking fellowship or whatever it be to get right with God. The church in this hour has got to get right with God. The fellowship has got to be right. The spirit has got to be clear. Amen. Zealously repenting is required before God will accept this Laodicean condition. Amen. Can you say amen? Alright. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. But you were made sorrow after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. Alright, watch verse 10. And this is usually quoted in relationship to sinners repenting of their sin, but incidentally, this particular verse here has nothing to do with sinners in its original application. It deals strictly with the church. It deals strictly with a congregation at Corinth that has become defiled by things that they have let down the bar and let sin got in, and they become defiled. But look here what Paul's writing. For godly sorrows work is repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. For I behold this selfsame thing, that you were sorrowed after a godly sort. Amen. Now what's Paul talking about? He's talking about the church as they had to rise up and correct the condition. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Are you willing to be a Christian in 76? Are you willing to be a bride church in the end time? Amen. What is it required? Zealously repenting, correcting any condition, whatever it takes, even to the extent of godly sorrow. Amen. Here's what Paul's writing now. Amen. For behold this selfsame thing, that you were sorrowed after a godly sort. What carefulness it wrought in you. Amen. Notice after true repentance is obtained too, it wrought carefulness in the people to see that there's nothing come in anymore to hinder the fellowship. Look what he said. What carefulness it wrought in you. It was a message that made their heart sorrowful. It was a message that cut to the soul. When Paul said the church wasn't right, the fellowship wasn't clean, the spirit wasn't pure. Amen. This kind of repentance is, it takes zealously repenting. And when you zealously repent, zealous repenting means doing something about a condition. Amen. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. Oh, would to God. Would to God that the church, amen, would repent to the extent that it would bring fear into the church. Fear of displeasing God in even the slightest thing. Amen. In your attitude, in your motive, anything. Oh, what fear. Oh, how careful you are, Paul saying. Oh, that's what the gospel is to produce in this hour. Amen. When true repentance is obtained to, it is to produce a people that's always ever so careful that they're right in the Spirit, ever so careful that they're pleasing the Holy Ghost, and it is to bring a fear into our heart, a fear lest somehow we offend or grieve the Holy Spirit in our midst. Oh, thank God. But Paul said, or the angel of this age said, if you're to be in the bride, if you're to do this, then you must zealously repent and come to the Word. Amen. We've had polluted spirits, polluted congregation, polluted minds, and everything that has been involved and incorporated into the church world. It began to come in this hour, but Paul said, zealously repent, clean up, get us out from among you. And the church had enough zeal, enough Holy Ghost, enough power of God to rise up and meet the condition. Amen. When they were faced with the circumstances forced an issue. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen. If you've got the Holy Ghost and the circumstances force an issue, and you want to be in the bride, you want to repent, you want to come clean, when God forces an issue by the Holy Spirit, by pointing out conditions in the congregation, amen, you'll cry before God, you'll weep before God, you'll make things right before God, and then when that takes place, to prove that the repentance was zealously wrought, prove that it was genuine, it'll cause in your heart a carefulness. Amen. How many sees this now? The condition Paul was dealing with. A beautiful church that have got things wrong in it that the Holy Spirit couldn't move freely. Amen. They had to go through much sorrow. Amen. Godly sorrow worketh repentance. Amen. Not talking about sinners, talking about the church. Talking about the Corinth church. But Paul writing said, oh, how careful you are now. I'm proud of you. Hallelujah. That's what it will do if repentance is genuine. If it is zealously wrought in the Lord. Amen. Zealous repentance is required for this church. Amen. Zealous repenting is required for all that have been caught up into the spirits of this day. Amen. God haven't changed His plan for the church. Amen. The qualification for the early church is the qualification for the latter-day church. In one thing, it was to have a pure fellowship. To have sincere hearts that the Holy Ghost could work through. And when Paul sees the church that wasn't that way, he brought the condition before them and told them what to do, and they began to pray and be godly and sorrowful about the condition and rose up to correct it. Oh, would to God tonight this local assembly here, amen, would rise up, amen, and correct all deficiency in your life pertaining to the church and to the Spirit of the Holy Ghost working in your life. Amen. We'd have a clean fellowship. We'd have a people that was also careful not to offend the Holy Spirit in any way when you walk into the door. Amen. In the early church, they came together with praise and thanksgiving. The Bible says, let melody reign in your heart, in spiritual song, and in hymn, and in making melody to the Lord. Oh, how careful that early church was. Amen, but we're living in a society that puts pressure upon us. Amen, and men, too many in this hour has become feeble in their spirit. Not willing to rise up and come against the current of the world to please Jesus Christ in this hour. Oh, but this church did. This church did. Notice now, and I want to hurry on because I don't want to deal too long with it. Amen. But how many sees that in this hour God has one thing in mind? Perfecting the saints. Perfecting the saints. And perfecting of saints begin with individuals. Amen. Perfecting of saints has to do with a ministry that God set in the church also for that purpose. And that means correcting any deficient in the church. Amen. Even to the extent of making some very sorrowful. How many would like to see a New Testament church? Church where the Spirit of God could move out in tongues, an interpretation of tongues. Amen. And the people would weep before God. Amen. As everything that wasn't right was called out and told. Amen. It's been a long time since I've seen any zealously repenting people. Amen. Those that were made godly sorrow to the extent that they weep before God and were so careful when they repented and such a fear of God that they just walked softly before the Lord, taking heed lest somewhere they displease or grieve the Holy Spirit. That's required for Lady O'Seal. That's required for me. That's required for you. Amen. Here was a church that got entangled, showing that church conditions, whatever they may be, or ever how serious they may be, this was indeed a serious condition. Fornicators in the church. Amen. But they realized one thing. They couldn't go this route and be right with God. So they said, we must do whatever is necessary. And the whole church came together and wept and were sorrowful. Even separating company from the man till he got his heart right with God. Amen. But isn't it good to know? Amen. When zealous repenting is attained to. And zealous repenting means doing something about a condition. That God is able to work out a condition that looks impossible. Even to the extent of restoring even the fornicator back to the fellowship of the congregation. Praise God when the church come together in one mind, one accord. Hallelujah. Here, amen. Let's go on just a little further with this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's see, where'd I get to? What verse? I believe verse 11, I think I started with. It said, behold, it's the same thing that ye sorrowed after a godly sort. Now, if you visit the church during this time, and all the members down crying, oh God, have mercy on us. Oh God, help us to straighten out the condition. Oh God, move again among us with the Holy Ghost. Oh God, speak among us. Oh God, restore us back to the fellowship, just the weeping and crying. Amen. If you'd visit the church, that church at Corinth, you would saw a church repenting after a godly sort. Repenting, zealously repenting to the extent that they were willing to do anything it takes. I'm putting it all on the altar, Lord. And praying and crying. That kind of repentance will move God. That kind of repentance will cause God to move in a congregation and remove everything that would hinder the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. In reading further here. Amen. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. You sorrowed after godly sort. With what carefulness it wrought in you. Oh, I could stay with that part a long time. Oh, I see that missing in the church today. Amen. I remember back in Pentecost. And Pentecost is criticized a lot now. But when I came into it, some 20 years ago, there was a carefulness among the people. How many knows? A carefulness. Amen. People didn't want to play with anything they were doubtful about. Some of the old timers felt it was wrong to drink coffee. Some wasn't sure. But just to be on the safe side, they would leave it alone. Amen. You know that. Amen. But now, we've lost our carefulness. Amen. We experiment with things and see whether it's wrong or not. See whether the Holy Spirit is grieved. Amen. We come to that place. That's where the church has gone. They've lost out with the Holy Spirit and many don't know it. Amen. But when the condition came and it just tore the church up, tore the hearts of the people up to the extent that they were Christians too. How do I know? Because they repented. They repented. They repented. And after the repenting session were over, the grieving session, the crying session, the burdensome session were over, Paul found a church at Corinth that was, oh, ever so careful. Ever so careful. Ever so careful that the Holy Spirit would not be grieved in anything that was said or done in the congregation, or outside the congregation, or among the church. Oh, how careful they were. My prayer is, God, grant us repentance tonight. Amen. Restore that carefulness in our soul. It will only be done when repentance is zealously sought after. Amen. All right, let me read this part again. Oh, what carefulness it wrought in you. Oh, what... Now, listen at this one now. Amen. What clearing of yourselves. Amen. Notice the reading of this now. What carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing. Clearing of yourselves. Amen. Praise God, at the sessions of prayer used to in Pentecost. Amen. It was a saying that we prayed through. I prayed through. What is praying through? It's a clearing of yourself. Oh, thank God. Thank God. How long it's been since some of you had a clearing of yourself? Knowing that there's nothing between my soul and my Savior. Amen. That His blessed face may be seen. That's what real zealously repenting before God for the Christian, it clears yourself. It's not saying, oh, well, I repent. I might have done wrong, so I'll repent. Go on. That is not zealously repenting. Zealous repenting brings godly sorrow to the church. Amen. And when it does, when the church has fully repented and God has cleared the condition, everything restored, you will find the church that's ever so careful. Ever so careful not to ever displease the Holy Spirit again. And then Paul said, oh, what clearing of yourself. Would you like a good clearing of yourself tonight? Amen. Where you could leave the church here tonight completely clear. Completely clear. Not anything on your soul, knowing without any shadow of doubt whatsoever that everything's all right between you and God. Between you and your brother and your sisters and all, that there's a clearing of yourself. Amen. That is required for this age to ever obtain under the rapture that God's promised. Ever to obtain. Other than this, you fall under the category of the Laodicean in a lukewarm condition. What makes a Laodicean? Being lukewarm. But God said in order to escape this snare, the Bible calls it a snare, doesn't it? In order to escape this snare that's come upon all the world, it's going to require a special kind of repentance. This is the only place, amen, and talking to the church that the angel spoke of zealously. You got a zeal for God. Zealously repenting. Amen. But we look in the Bible and we see an example of zealously repenting. And it cleared every conscience in the church was cleared. Amen. Isn't that good that the Holy Spirit will come in, look at a congregation, see every heart in the clear. Not one thing on any of the hearts. The Bible says in a parable that God gives that He came and looked at the guests that had come to the marriage supper, those that were invited, but He found one, when He looked, He found one that didn't have the wedding garment on. Bind this one hand and foot and cast it out. Amen, that the fellowship might be clean. Friends, we're coming into an hour when we must love Jesus Christ with all of our heart. When we as a church cannot afford any longer to be a stumbling block to the world. When we as a church can no longer afford, amen, to call ourselves the bride of Christ, the representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, and still not have the goods that was in the early church. It was said about the early church, they were known for the love that they had one for another. Oh, what clearing, Paul said, of yourself. Oh, doesn't it do something for you just to say the words? Oh, what a clearing of yourself. A clearing. Completely cleaned out. Nothing. Amen. What caused this? Godly sorrow, weeping before God, crying before God. Oh, Lord, save us from the condition that we have drifted into this church for saved. They were praying, they were crying, they were weeping. But when it was all over and they really got through to God, they made sure that they wouldn't get in this condition again. Let's read. But on this, oh, what a clearing of yourself. Yea, what indignation. Yea, what fear. That means fear God to the extent that, Lord, is this your perfect will? Anything that's doubtful, don't indulge in it. Find out first if it's God's will. Amen. Oh, what fear it wrought among the people. All right. Praise be to God. Let me just hurry here. Yea, what fear. Yea, what being. Desire. A vehement desire. Amen. All you read this word here, I can't pronounce it, but I know what it means. Yea, what a V-E-H-E-M-E-N-T. What's someone pronounce that word? I know what it means. Vehement. It means a desire, a burning desire. And a putting forth an effort. Amen. When you're zealously repenting of your past errors and your condition, a desire, a vehement desire, it means, amen, you're just doing everything you can to please the Lord. Action. You put legs on your repentance and begin to see that everything's all right. Yea, what zeal. Oh, there's that word zeal popped up again. It's been condemned. Those that have come to God in this, in the sense of the end time message, it, zeal, having a zeal is condemned. But brother, sister, this church had a zeal. Zeal means get up and go, do something about the condition. Amen. Be consistent in it. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit work a work in your life. Amen. That your neighbors can know it. That your family can know it. Amen. That your friends can know it. That everyone knows that brother, that sister there, really, something really happened. They really, really were on their toes now. Really serving God. That's what God's going to have in a church. God's going, all right, let me just hurry along with this now. All right, what zeal? Yea, what venge? In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. You've approved, what they do? They repented very godly. Amen. With great sorrow, with great heaviness. But when the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, spoke to the church, he said, now you've cleared yourself in this matter. Isn't that wonderful? That a church that have stooped to the condition where there's actually a man in the fellowship having a sexual relation with his stepmother, that the church came together and prayed with and sought God to and worked godly sorrow and repentance, that when they wrote to the church again, amen, they have cleared themselves in this matter. What happened to the man? The man repented. Amen. The man repented. The man stayed with the congregation, but not under the same condition. He cleared himself. Amen. We don't need to lose anyone. We need to first, amen, get serious with God, don't we? Come to God with godly soul repenting. Amen. Let God work it out. All right, let me get verse 12 here. Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered the wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted in anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spoke all things to you in truth, even our boasting which I made before Titus is found in truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, while he remembers the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you receive him. Now watch this, church. When even the messenger of God came, amen, with fear and with trembling, they received the minister of God. Amen. That is to be seen in the church when true repentance is fear and trembling. Amen. Not careless attitudes and so forth like that. The church has got to come to genuine repentance. All right. Amen. The man was restored. We could, and I rejoice therefore that I have confidence in you all in all things. Praise be to God. Amen. Paul wrote one letter. It shook the church up. It tore it up. Amen. But then he wrote to the condition what happened after the church went through the stage of repentance about this matter. Praise God. They zealously repented of the wrong that was in them. Now notice God speaking to this church, and we're called in it. We preached on it one time in Luke. Amen. Also in Matthew 24, it's promised that there will come a time when the love of many will wax cold. Why? Because iniquity abounds. Iniquity in the church. Now, iniquity is not necessarily gross sins. In this case, it was, but iniquity can be to know to do good and not do it. Amen. Iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold, the Bible said. Amen. That's what the angel said in Revelation chapter 10. Amen. I would that you were hot or cold. You say I'm rich and you say this and you say that, but I'm going to counsel you to buy of me gold tried in fire. And God began to chastise. He said, whomsoever I love, I rebuke and chastise. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Now I think I will refrain from reading Matthew 25 because you know what it says. It deals with a church. Amen. They have drifted off into a sleeping state. Amen. But some was woke up and some wasn't. Amen. But it was offered to them repentance. They had to rise. They had to trim their lamp. They had to do something about the condition when the cry was made at midnight. Amen. The cry was made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And the first thing they did, the Bible says, they all slept and slumbered. Amen. But they all arose and trimmed their lamps. Amen. Even the best saints had to do some lamp trimming. Amen. I think that's what this church needs tonight. Amen. Instead of going on into that, I feel like the Holy Spirit now is withdrawing the anointing of the message. I feel that it wouldn't be pleasing to the Holy Spirit to go on another 15 or 20 minutes dealing in that spirit because you know what it is. Zealously repenting is required in this age. It's going to take that to cause carefulness to be in the people. Oh, what carefulness, Paul said. Oh, what a clearing of yourselves. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. I would to God tonight. Amen. That we could say that about everyone in this church tonight. Oh, what a clearing of yourselves. People praying through so they could say, praise God, I prayed through. I feel so good. I feel so clean. I feel so free. I feel so happy. I really love the Lord. Amen. And let the Holy Ghost put within your heart a fear that you would be so careful. Lord, is this your will? Am I doing this right? Lord, don't let me have the wrong attitude. Don't let me have the wrong motive about anything. Just keep my heart clean and pure before you. Amen. That church pulled out of a condition like it was in and was restored back to a place where Paul wrote to the church and said, you are approved. You are clear. Amen. The Holy Ghost looked at the church and said, it's all over now. It's all right. God has taken care of the situation because you moved and prayed and repented zealously and did whatever was necessary. God has moved, and now you're clear of these charges. Amen. God cleared that church and friends of mine tonight. Let me speak to this church just a little bit. In closing out, amen, the Holy Spirit has ceased to move among us like it used to move among us. Amen. When we see that, we only know that there needs to be some genuine repentance There need to be some zealous repenting. Amen. Not of gross sins. Amen. But there need to be a clearing of ourselves. There need to be a renewing of ourselves. There need to be a spirit from God come into our heart to make us rise up and say, Lord, I'm not satisfied like I am. I want to be in your church, Lord. I want to be in your bride, Lord. I want to be your child, Lord. I want to be a son of God. Amen. The son of God walks before God with a clear conscience, knowing everything's all right. Oh, God, would you have mercy on us tonight? Amen. Amen. God is able to help us one more time. Amen. We want to see the Holy Spirit move among us tonight. Amen. We want to see God come down and deal with hearts tonight. We want to see the church zealously repenting, knowing the time is short. Have you got a song? Or would you play?